Good morning, and welcome to Groveland Missionary Church. We canceled services today because of the extreme cold outside, and so I'm coming to you live from my office here. And hopefully, those who are waiting for the live broadcast are so thankful for it. It is Valentine's Day, and so I decided this last week to Google what is the greatest love story of all time. Have you ever tried to Google something like that? Well, of course, there are many opinions, and everyone has their top five or their top 10, and they're a bit different from others. And some were more personal in their opinions, and some were more broad and consensus. And so I kind of combined multiple ones of these together and came up with the top 10 greatest love stories of all time. Now, this is not a comprehensive list, and it's not official in any way. And I've personally not read all these stories, but I have at least heard of them before even this week. But here's the top five greatest love stories of all times, according to someone. First of all, number five, Wuthering Heights. Again, a story I haven't read, but that was number five. I have heard of it, though. Number four, The Thornbirds. Apparently, this is another story about a priest who has an affair. Very touching love story, but that's as much as I know about it. Number three, Tolstoy's famous Anna Karenina. 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 Anyways, whatever, how you pronounce it. Anna Karenina by Tolstoy. Famous story about a Russian in Russia. And again, that's as much as I know about that one. Number two, and my wife will love this because this is one of her favorite movies and stories, is Pride and Prejudice. So Pride and Prejudice is number two. And the number one love story of all time is drums, Romeo and Juliet. Again, that's the only one I've really read about that. And I know that story, but it's kind of interesting. Again, this was not a comprehensive list and definitely not official, and I'm sure there could be more added to it. And there are other stories and movies that were made that could be considered love stories that were not included on this list, like Titanic or Casablanca. But it got me thinking about what it takes to make a good love story. And what does it take to make a good love story? Many of these stories on this list have a love worth dying for, and we see that in several of them, that they're worth going to death for their love, a love that will not quit or let go or to give up on. Stories that see a kind of a forbidden kind of love many times in there, whether they're between warring families or different social classes or star-crossed lovers, they seem to be some kind of love that will be able to conquer all these different obstacles in their lives, whether it be, like I said, families that are warring or forbidden social between social classes or whatnot. And yet, as I thought through that list, none of them hold a candle to what I believe is the greatest love story of all time, and that's written in this, the Bible. I believe that the Bible is the greatest love story. The whole book is God's love story about the people who he created, God's story of love and devotion to his creation, how he loved them, and how that love was shunned and rejected many times by his creation, but how God still reaches out, showing his goodness and his blessings to them, how he welcomes back his bride, showering her with love and care. He loves us no matter what, and will not give up or let go, or even as it's worth a love dying for. The Bible sums up this kind of love in one very familiar and often used scripture, often used verse in the Bible, and that's John 3:16. So I'm going to examine how this morning and how to grasp how high and wide and long and deep is the love of Christ, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So let's open our Bibles, if you have them with you, to John 3:16. John 3:16 starts off by saying, "God so loved the world." Now let's stop right there. Because I think it's important to note, first of all, that we are talking about everyone. That God's love is so broad, it includes and reaches everyone. God loves the world, from the youngest infant to the oldest adult. I found it kind of curious on Facebook this last week that it was noted that the oldest person in the world, I guess, who lives in France, just recovered from COVID-19. And that they lived still 117 years. But the Bible tells us he loves us even before we're born. In fact, last week we talked about that with Samson, how he loved Samson and blessed him even before he was born. So age is not a factor. He also loves Americans as well as Chinese, Russians, Europeans, Latin Americans, Japanese, those who are from Australia, or from Africa, from here to Timbuktu. He loves everyone, everywhere, every nationality. And sometimes we forget about this. We sometimes think, oh, God blesses America. And yes, I do believe God blesses America, but he loves everyone. He loves the world. Reminds me of the song from Jesus Loves Me. It has variations to it. And what I remember the most is that Jesus loves the Indian boy, bow and arrow, forest toy, big Filipino, we Chinese, living far across the streets. Yes, Jesus loves them. He loves everyone. He loves everyone of every nationality around. He loves every race, black and white, those with olive hues or to the skin color. Another children's song that we sing is Jesus Loves the Little Children, where it says, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. And I love it that these children's songs that we sing in church are just so broad and are taught to our children early on that Jesus loves not just me, but the world. Jesus loves everyone. Not just me, but Jesus loves everyone, far and wide. That this is a worldwide love. And so I'm glad that we teach them that how God loves everyone in the whole world, not just certain people, certain individuals, or certain stereotypes. See, God loves people whether they're Jewish or Hindus, Christian or Buddhist, or atheist. He loves them all, of all religions. He even loved you if you're homosexual or heterosexual, trans or cis or LGBTQ. He loves you. It doesn't matter your age, sex, gender, race, nationality, religion, or creed. No matter where you live or how you what you've been through or what you haven't been through, God loves you. God loves us all. And this goes contrary to some theologians that believe that God only loves a select few, that God only loves those who he knows is going to love him in advance, who will love him back, that God only loves the elect, as they say, only those who believe in him. And worse than that God is the one that picks and chooses those who love and those who won't love. They point to passages like that deal with Jacob and Esau, that before they were born or did anything good or bad, that God said, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. That God those he loves to life and predestined those who will not believe to death. I don't believe that or teach that. And this one verse that we're looking at today is one reason why not. You see, John 3:16 says God loves the world. It does not say God loves the elect, or God loves his chosen, or God loves a select few? No. Clearly and unequivocally, from the mouth of Jesus himself, nonetheless, it says God loves the world. The whole cosmos. That's the word in Greek. The whole cosmos, the whole world. The whole lot of mankind. Every person made in his likeness. Every man, woman, boy, girl is infinitely and incredibly loved by God. That's God's love story. Everyone who has lived or is living or will live in the future has a stamp of God's love on him. I mean, you might as well have it stamped all over your body, loved by God, because that's who you are in God. God loved you. And this applies to everyone who's listening to me on Facebook or who would come to my services. Loved by God. God loves you. Yes, this is true. You might think you're the most unlovable person. You might not think that you deserve God's love. But that doesn't matter. He still does. You might think you're the most unlovable person or deserve God's love. But it's true that God loves you. I can say with all the confidence of scriptures to back me up that God loves you. And whether you accept this truth or not will not change the facts. You are loved. The world may tell you differently. They may tear you down and say you're nothing, an insignificant, nobody, worthless. But not with God. When he looks down from heaven at you individually, he points up to you and says, I love you. There is someone that I love. And if you miss everything else that I say in my sermons from here till you die, or till I die, if you miss anything else, don't miss this one thing. God loves you. God loves you. He loves you with an undying love. And this verse tells us that he loves the whole world that he gave. Now, how do we show love to people in the world? Especially on Valentine's Day, we hear, how do you show love? Well, one of the key ways we show love to people in our world around us is by giving gifts. Giving some money or some gift or something we cherish, something that means to us. And usually the bigger the gift, or probably the more expensive the gift is, the more it seems to show that we love them. I mean, as a dad and mom, when one of our children gives us a homemade card, we think, oh yeah, we love it, but yeah, maybe. But when they take the time and effort to buy a card from the store or do something incredible that they don't normally do to show us love, we think, oh, they love us. If our husband or wife wants to show love for Valentine's, they might get us a box of chocolates. You know, we might give them a heart or a box of chocolates. But if you really loved them, the box would be bigger, wouldn't it? Typically, not all the time, the more you love someone, the greater the cost of the gift that you give. This might not just be in monetary terms, but it can also be in sentimental value as well. Love, it will cost you, whether it be time or effort or sentiment or money or something else of worth. I remember reading back a while ago the Love Language books by Gary Chapman, and how he has five different languages of love. And each one shows how you love them by giving them something, whether it be time, by giving of yourself and their time, or whether it be a gift that will cost you money, or touch will cost you effort and time, acts of service, you know, that kind of working for someone and showing them how you love them by serving them and by doing things that cost you time and effort, and words of affirmation, how important it is to talk to people and to think about how much you love them and say it in words. Well, when God showed his love to us, it cost him too. He gave the thing that was most precious to him. He gave his one and only son, his son that he loved, his beloved son. And since we're told in the scriptures that they are three in one, he gave of himself. God did not send a nameless angel or sacrifice the cattle on a thousand hills. He sent Jesus, his dearly loved child, to die. And not just die, but to die in the most painful and hideous death ever imagined. He died a humiliating death, a death of a sinful criminal. He died stripped naked and nailed to a cross. Oh, the love God has for us. Oh, the great cost of showing us his love. And as Paul points out later on, that God did this while we were yet sinners. Paul says in Romans 5, 7 and 8, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, but for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, God did not die for a friend or someone who's of value, of worth. He died while we were sinfully wretched people, lost in the darkness. He died for us, not when we are good, but when we are at our worst. The Bible makes this clear in so many passages, that we were lost without hope, that we had nothing in and of ourselves to make us worthy of his love. We are unlovable enemies of God, in fact, it tells us. But God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son. Has there been such a greater love? Is there such a greater love story than that? Has there been a bigger sacrifice? You see, God gave us his most precious gift to show us how much he loved us. And as we saw during the Christmas season, it was the most wonderful gift that could ever be given. Have you ever thought and stopped and thought about what God did for you? All that he's given to you, not just in this one gift? Forget all the other blessings like peace with God, or reconciliation, or future in heaven, or adoption into the family. Focus on just the gift of Jesus' death on the cross, in your place, dying so that you might have life. This is God's gift. This is God's love shown through Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes, now let's stop right there, whosoever is you. Again, this is not just for the elect or some select few or some in particular, it's whosoever. Some have said when they read this verse, they come to whosoever and they insert their name. They say, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that if Tim Clawson believes in him, he shall not perish but have eternal life. When I think of the word whosoever, I think of several hymns that come to mind. I think of the old hymn that we don't sing much anymore. Whosoever will, whosoever will, whosoever will, spread the proclamation over vale or hill. 'Tis the loving Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. I think of another hymn. Whosoever meaneth me, whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, oh, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me. This song confirms that when Jesus says, whosoever believes, he's talking about everyone. Again, he's not excluding anyone. Everyone is welcomed at the foot of the cross. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done or you whatsoever. You are the whosoever. But pastor, you say, you don't know the bad things I've done. The Bible says, whosoever. Pastor, you don't know all the people I've hurt. Whosoever. But pastor, you don't know all the things I've fallen into. I've sinned so many times. Whosoever. But pastor, you don't know. Whosoever. But whosoever meaneth you. Meaneth me. No excuses about it. I will say it again. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. You are the whosoever. You are the one Jesus died for. You are the one God sent Jesus to earth for. You are the one that God loves so dearly. You might say, all the things I've done deserves condemnation. Let me read you the verse that follows John 3:16 in our Bibles. John 3:17 and 18. It says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but who does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And so if you come to him in faith believing, you are the whosoever, and you too can have eternal life. You too can be forgiven. You too can have your sins wiped clean. You can be adopted into God's family. And all it takes is for you to open your heart and mind and allow him to come in and to change you from the inside out. You need to believe that Jesus died for you, the whosoever. You see, God is reaching out to all the whosoevers. And he's saying, I gave you my son to die for you. So when you accept this free gift, I can save you from your sins. You will no longer be condemned, but be welcomed into his loving arms. And you'll be free from all condemnation. The Apostle Paul later writes, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. So take that first step and ask God to make himself real in your life. You don't need to take the giant leap of believing in Jesus right away. Yet, just start by asking, God, make yourself real to me this week. Show me you're there. It's a simple prayer. It's a simple request of God. Show yourself real to me. You can say, I don't know all about this Jesus stuff, but reveal more about you to me this week. And read more of God's love story. You can start in John 3 that we are coming from this morning. A story about one man who's curious about who Jesus is. But just take that one step. God, show yourself real to me this week. And then you can take the next step at saying, Jesus, I know you are real. I know you're true. I believe in you. Save me from the sins and give me life eternal. Because the next part of the verse there that we're looking at this morning is shall not perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, the story of God's love is about eternity. It's what's in store in the future for us. Because God's love started from the very beginning. He created us to show us his love. But from the first humans, but from the first humans until now, we've rejected that love. We decided to do what we wanted to do rather than what God wanted. We have turned from his love time and time again. And because of that rebellion against God's will, we deserve punishment. You see, sin and God are opposite from one another and they cannot exist together. And we're told that the wages of sin is death. We all have a death sentence. But this is where God's love story comes in. Because God in his great love for us gave us Jesus. This is what we talked about already. He sent Jesus to die in our place. He took our death sentence for us upon himself. Because Jesus lived a sinless life, he didn't deserve death. And so, Jesus died for us. And because of that, we can have eternal life. We don't need to die. We don't need to perish. Those who believe in him will never perish. Oh, we might die here on earth, but we'll have eternal life with him in heaven. God's love is so deep that he was willing to send his son to die so that we can live with him forever and ever. And this eternal life is just the tip of the iceberg. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we have forgiveness of sins. We have communion with God. We have God's presence with us. We have his Holy Spirit working in us. We have the ability to communicate with God, an effective prayer life. We have God dwelling in us as his temple. We have peace with God. We have redemption from sins. We have no guilt or condemnation. We are adopted into God's family. We have a heavenly home waiting for us. And we have God's grace and God's mercy and God's favor and much, much more. You see, we can experience God's love. Love that will not end. Even after we die. Loves the world. But having that personal relationship with him one-on-one is so much greater. He loves everyone, but knowing him on a personal level and for him to know you and for us to be experience him and for him to make himself known to us is so much greater. to know him is, and to be known by him is so much we can't put into words. This morning we were going to sing a hymn, The Love of God. It's one of the hymns we were going to sing this morning. And I love that final verse. Well, let me read the first verse here, though. It says, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin." And that final verse that Frederick Lehman wrote, might have read it many times before, heard it sung. It says, "Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the stars of parchment made, the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it ever shall forever endure the saints and angels' song." You see, God loves us. And it's a love so deep and wide and high and long that we cannot express it with words or with song or with anything. It would drain the ink-filled ocean dry. It would cover the landscape from sky to sky and still could not contain it. Do you know this love of God this morning? Have you experienced this love story between God and his creation? Have you experienced this love for yourself? Do you know Jesus as the one who died for you? Who loves us so much? I hope that this Valentine's, that you have an opportunity to know God's Valentine to you. He loves you. He cares for you. And he wants you to become his child. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we finish up this morning, who hears this message within the sound of my voice, be able to experience for themselves this vast love of God that no story on earth can ever tell, because it's just so great and expansive and extensive. Thank you for coming to die for us and giving us forgiveness and love and peace and patience, giving us all your goodness and love. Thank you for Jesus' death on the cross for our sins, for the sins of the world. Help us to realize this love this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's good to talk to you. Well, until we see you again, God bless.